We probably all felt the way those fishermen were feeling that day when Jesus came along. They'd been working all night. They'd caught nothing. The Message Bible says not even a minnow. Now they had to go through the boring but necessary routine of scrubbing their nets to get rid of weeds or any other rubbish that they may have picked up in the water. Then they had to mend any holes. What a waste of time it must have felt like. How frustrating. But also worrying as well, of course, because if there was no fish, there was no income. And Jesus appears on the scene, and quickly people gather. And then he gets into a boat, and he asks Simon to push the boat out a bit so that he can use it as a sort of pulpit to teach the people. And he continued teaching them whilst the work on the nets carried on. And then when the work was finished, Jesus said, "Now," he said, "put out into deep water and let your nets out for a catch." What a joke they must have thought that was. Clean nets. We've been fishing all night and caught nothing. Do we have to go through it all again? And yet note that Simon says, "But if you say so, Jesus, I'll do it." So they let out the nets. Almost immediately, they had a huge haul of fish, so many that they needed help to pull them in. Both boats were filled. They were almost swamped by all the fish they'd caught. Simon, John, and James, and others who were there, were all completely overwhelmed by this miracle and realize that they were in the presence of someone special, someone great, and even someone holy, and so were aware of their own sinfulness. Simon spoke for them. "Master, leave," he said. "I'm a sinner. I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." But Jesus answered, "There's nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be catching fish, people, men and women." They pulled their boats up onto the beach. They left them. They left their nets and they left everything. And they followed him. Now, it seems that this was the second time that Jesus had called them to follow. The first we can read about in Matthew chapter 4. But after that first call, somehow they had drifted back to fishing. They'd probably kept watching him. They'd stayed around him. They'd seen him healing the sick. They'd seen him driving out demons. But somehow they were not convinced enough to throw in their lot with him and let everything else go. But this time it was different. Now there was no turning back. This was their moment of real commitment. So following Jesus now meant more than just being spectators, looking on from a distance. It meant leaving the past behind and committing their future to him and going where he went, doing as he said. Now, you see, it had become personal. He had done something amazing in their lives, and he had shown how their own circumstances could change when they obeyed him. Jesus showed that he cared about their day-to-day life and wanted to help them in their work. And notice how quick Simon was to obey. And because of his obedience, wonderful things happened. This was a life-changing moment. We often use that phrase, but this really was a life-changing moment for those disciples. This settled the issue for them. From now on, they gave up everything else to follow. Now, this story is familiar to many of us, I know, but perhaps we need to look again and see what it's saying to us as individuals and also to the church at this particular time in history. Are we happy with things as they are in our church or in our own Christian walk, our own journey of faith? Or is there a feeling that we've been toiling with little to show for it. Do we sometimes think there must be more than this to being a Christian? If so, is God saying to us, push out into deeper waters, launch out into the deep? Is he asking us to go where we haven't been before? Simon and friends spent all night fishing and nothing happened. All that effort and no results. Jesus said, try again. Move out into a different place. Maybe a more dangerous place, deeper waters. And Jesus moved them from a place of safety in the shallows into deeper water, because that's where the harvest was. Do we need to move out of our routine, safe, comfortable way of doing things, to go where God is calling us, into deeper water? You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to get bogged down by work and by family responsibilities and duties of all kinds. But we need to consider, are we where God wants us to be? The answer may be yes for some people, or it could be that there are changes to be made. I'm going to read you a quote from something that I read that John Wesley had written, but I think I'll need a drink of water first. So John Wesley said, and of course some of the language is a bit old-fashioned, but you know it's a different age. John Wesley said, our societies were formed from those who were wandering upon the dark mountains that belonged to no Christian church, but were awakened by the preaching of the Methodists who had pursued them through the wilderness of this world to the highways and the hedges, to the markets and the fairs, to the hills and the dales, who set up the standard of the cross in the streets and lanes of the cities, in the villages, in the barns and in the farmers' kitchens. And all this done in such a way, to such an extent, as never had been done before since the apostolic age. How we've settled down a bit since then, haven't we? Since John Wesley wrote those words. I know that initially he was very wary of preaching outdoors, wasn't he? But he wrote these words, I love a commodious room with soft cushions and a handsome pulpit, but field preaching saves souls. Jesus, of course, spoke in the synagogue when he could, but mostly he took to the open road. How we need in our age, our day, to pray, to find out and look for where the harvest is, and to be prepared to try again. The night was past. That was the normal time for fishing. But Simon said, if you say so, Jesus, even though it's daytime and it's not the right time and it's not the right circumstances, if you say so, we will try again. I read a book once, and the title of the book was, Those Who Expect Nothing Are Never Disappointed. So a question is, are we expectant people? What does launching out look like? Here are a few suggestions for us to think about as a church, as a circuit, and as individuals. The first one is setting goals and establishing a plan to reach them. What is our vision for the next few weeks and months? Do we have a vision, or are we just drifting along? This isn't just for church as a corporate body. This is for us as individuals as well. You know, I remember when we had the church meeting a few months ago, that one of the groups said that what they would like to see in the coming year was 25 new people joining our fellowship. So actually, are we doing anything about that? What about if we all start to pray for 25 new Christians this year? That's just a way in which we need to think about setting our goals and not just wondering if they'll happen or not, but making an effort to see how we can bring that about. The second thing is staying tuned to God's leading in our lives. Maybe there's a new calling for some of us. Different things to do. Now, I can hear in my head some of the older people saying, and I'm one of them really, I can't even do the things I used to do, so what's the good of talking about new things? And of course that's true, but it doesn't mean to say that you can't do something new, because it may be a different way of doing things. There are lots of things we can do if we don't have the energy to go out and do some of the more exciting things. Maybe we need to be bolder in the way that we share our faith with our friends. Maybe we need to think a bit more about who can I phone, who can I invite in for a cup of coffee and talk to them about life and about Jesus. Maybe we need, as I said about the 25 people, to just pray bigger prayers and expect more answers from our prayers. The third thing is confronting old fears. Now, a lot of us have fears. I suppose everybody has fears, really. And sometimes fear can hold us back. I'll just give a quick example.